We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My grandma, my German grandma, what do I say? It's because she's got the big brain. But I just, you know.
Babies are just top heavy, yeah, you know?
They were afraid I had hydrocephalus, like water on the brain.
Instead of love on the brain, it's water on the brain. Got water on the brain. Welcome to the Holy Hour.
I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball. And every time I'm like, wait, what the fuck do we say?
I was just thinking that right before I said my name. I was like, Amelia Sampson, who am I?
Well, and then I caught a whiff of your bevy.
Oh, I'm drinking another Topo Chico. It's strawberry guava.
It smells a little bit. And don't take this offensively. It smells a little bit like a Four Loko.
It does.
So I just had...
Oh, it does smell like Four Loko.
Yeah, I think it's just the strawberry, mm-hmm. You know?
It doesn't taste like it, though. But I also read up on Topo Chico. You know how, like, they were in trouble for having, like, cancerous substances?
Yeah, I told you about that.
Yes. They fixed it.
Good!
Yeah. Thank God.
Okay, folks, we can drink Topo Chico
again. So we're back.
Not that I was ever going to stop drinking seltzers.
This episode is not sponsored by... Topo Chico. You know what we should really start
doing? Topo Chico.
It's like really obviously blocking out logos to make these companies pay us. Topo Chico's like,
we're just always drinking a hard seltzy. Yeah, I'm currently drinking a vodka soda.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good choice. That feels like a good Monday drink.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I almost did. I have these prebiotic sodas.
Ooh.
Almost did that.
Prebiotic?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of probiotic?
Mm-hmm.
What is prebiotic?
I looked it up. Can't remember all the specific differences, but a prebiotic is supposed to prime your body for the probiotic. So they kind of work together.
Hell yeah, brother.
I don't have the probiotic. I only have the prebiotic.
Have we just gotten weaker as we've evolved? Like the cavemen didn't have pre and probiotics. Maybe they did, naturally.
I'm sure a lot of them also died more often.
That's true. Like in
from like
I Love Girl,
dysentery.
Died at like the ripe age of 30.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or like fuck, what's that? The Oregon Trail game? Did you ever play that?
No.
Was everyone that the dies one that of dysentery?
Played in school.
Yeah.
I never played that.
I loved that game.
Did you play Mavis Beacon? Did you use Mavis Beacon? The typing. You didn't use Mavis Beacon.
I don't think so.
Oh my God. That was like peak. Do you ever look at those things from your childhood or like really like repressed memories?
Yeah. Do you remember Zoom Beanies? Did you ever play Zoom Beanies?
No. Zoom Beanies?
Yeah.
What is that?
You make these little guys and then you do math with them, but you go on adventures.
No.
Yeah.
Your school sounds much cooler than my school.
But we only got to play that in computers class.
Yeah, same with Mavis Beacon. It was like so I got on AOL when I was like 7 because I like just loved talking to people. My mom was like, if you get on any fucking chat rooms.
I was like,
in chat rooms before they were like,
I should have given
scary.
You a mic.
Yeah.
They've always been scary.
Oh my God. Yeah. But before they were like publicly known to be horrible, I was in chat rooms. But yeah, so I was on AOL really young. with strict rules, which makes sense. And so
you
I
were
passed,
typing at age seven.
Yep. So I there's a picture of me at four, like at a computer, just like I was always primed to be working in tech. But it's because my dad and my mom were both in tech. My mom was in advertising. My dad was in tech sales. I think he's told me a million times and it just for whatever reason will not stick. I got through the typing course like a month before everyone else and I felt like such a fucking baller. Made a speak in my bitch.
These fingers are fast as fuck, boy. anyways, we have some topics to cover today.
I haven't gotten to any of that.
What were your topics again?
Oh, I watched this. So you know how I said that I've been watching TV in the shower because I have no time to watch TV otherwise. So I've been watching specifically, I've been watching YouTube clips, like my favorite creators. And, for whatever reason, I think because I've been researching the Gabby Petito case so much, Dr. Phil is now popping up on my like Discover page on YouTube. And there was this story that I thought was fascinating. And I think it's really easy to make light of it. So I'm going to try really hard not to because it's actually pretty sad. I'll prime it with this girl had a lot of trauma, a lot of trauma. But she fell in love with this woman on the internet and was convinced that she was like communicating with her telepathically and was like, there were clips of her being like, she would like her water was on a table and she was like, oh, you see the water moving a little bit? That's Jasmine. Jasmine's moving my water. She's like, hey, babe. And like all this stuff. And she like drove to meet Jasmine like by herself with her dog and like was like, yeah, Jasmine's going to move her stuff into my apartment, blah, blah, blah. And like all this time, Jasmine had no idea who this girl was. They'd never talked. Like they sent a few messages back and forth where Jasmine's like, why am I your header photo on Twitter? Like, I don't even know you. And then this girl...
Is she like, is the girl Jasmine like just a regular person?
She is like a famous college athlete, I think. And she kept saying to, I want to say this girl's name was Brianna. She kept saying to Brianna, like, I do not know who you are. Leave me alone. And then Brianna would like send Jasmine nudes, like thousands of nudes. And yeah, it was just like, it was bananas. And so Jasmine got Brianna's mom involved and she was like, if you don't make your daughter stop, like I'm getting the authorities involved. And Brianna was just like, yeah, well, like she would tell me to leave her alone. And then she would like, you know, start doing stuff like delete pictures one by one. And I would message her and she would delete another picture. And then I would message her and she'd delete another picture. And that was her way of communicating with me. Oh my God. She would like subtweet me all the time, even though she was telling me to leave her alone. And then they had them both on stage. They brought Jasmine and Dr. Phil. And Brianna was like, I just want to like shake you and tell you to stop acting because I know that you know that we're supposed to be together. And like, it was just like, I was thinking about how like, to some degree, I feel like we all kind of do that sometimes. Like, oh, like he's subtweeting me, you know, like little like in micro. You're
like, oh my God, he put a song on his story.
Yeah. It's about me. Yeah.
I wonder if he saw I was also listening to it.
Like, oh my God, I haven't talked to him in days and he just watched my story. He's for sure in love with me. Like, I feel like we all do that. But like seeing it in such like an intense, like to like the nth degree of her thinking that they were like married in their minds, but like they just couldn't say it out loud was bonkers.
Yeah.
It was fascinating. I don't know. It was really sad. But then Dr. Phil, the reason I got so enthralled in this is Dr. Phil ended up like kicking this Brianna girl off of his stage for being like disrespectful. Dr. Phil's a fucking joke.
Yeah.
He sucks. Like it, for so many reasons. He's not a real doctor. Fun fact.
Yeah. I think I knew that.
It sucks. He like lost his license like a very long time ago, but he's just like a television doctor. But yeah, like after exposing like all of her trauma on television in front of this whole audience, he then like humiliates her by like kicking her off the stage. That just fucking blows.
Also, this reminds me of something you and I were talking about the other week. I was talking to one of my friends and she was like, she's so easy to talk to and get along with. And she was like, it happens to me all the time where people are like, they're like, we have such a great connection. And she's like, I don't really know you. Yeah. Like, you just feel comfortable being yourself around me. So you don't like me, you like yourself. Yeah. So that's like good news. But like, just because you feel like you can be yourself and doesn't mean that we have a connection, like a romantic connection or something like that. So
yep,
that could have, I feel like that's also very well one of those things of like, this girl probably saw this other girl on the internet and was like, wow, I really relate to a lot of this stuff that she's saying.
Yeah. Right.
And then like making it into something in her head.
Yeah.
Because you want permission to like yourself.
Totally. It was interesting because Brianna, I guess, I also still don't know if I'm calling her the right name, but I'm committed now. Brianna, she was straight. Like, she identified as straight. She only dated men. And then all of a sudden she saw Jasmine's picture. She's like, I'm a lesbian. And Dr. Phil, as much as I have negative things to say about him, had a really good point of him saying like, all of this came after like a month after this like last very traumatic event in her life. Like, she had been raped, she had been assaulted, she had been attacked, like all of like back to back to back to back. And then after the last instance, she like fell in love with Jasmine. And he was like, when it's in your mind, it can't hurt you.
That's,
and like, when
so
it's also
true.
Like something that you're not like actually like invested in, like she's not typically attracted to women. It's like she was able to be removed enough and dissociated enough from it that she like created this thing in her mind that like couldn't hurt her. And I just thought, I don't know, it makes a lot of sense. Like, mm-hmm. Of course you would.
And that now I'm wondering like what smaller scale type things we do or have done to protect ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, it's so
human.
That's
so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I want to look into it.
I should really send you this. I had to like piece the whole thing together. They don't have full episodes online and they have like 4-minute clips. So I was like trying to string it together by myself.
What was the
really hard being me?
What was like the more recent one, like in the last few years that became like a meme? Like one of the girls on
Cash Me Outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She, Bad Baby, it's her rap name.
That's who.
Yep. She is fucking badass. She has turned that whole thing into a full-blown career. She's making so much money off of this, and she's a really good rapper. Like,
I remember she has like one song that I was like, that's Bad Baby. This yeah. is kind of a bop.
She has
I can't
a lot
remember
of really
what it
good
is.
Songs.
That's funny.
She has a song called Gucci Flip Flops that is on all of my party playlists. It's so good.
Good
but
for her.
She exposed Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil sends these kids to something like Neverland Ranch or something stupid
what
like
the
that.
Fuck?
That is like,
that place is cursed.
Yeah. It's supposed to like straighten out kids and like make them like behave well, but they like torture these children. They like make them sit up straight for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and like don't let them sleep. And like they like really torment them. And so
they abuse children.
Yep. Yeah. To like set them straight. Pretty fucked.
Oh my God.
Anyway, going back to what your friend was saying about like people feeling like they know somebody, like I've been running into that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I always have, like, before I had, like, any sort of, like, internet presence, like, people would always be like, but you've been flirting with me. I'm like, no, I really haven't.
You're like, am I flirting or am I just hot and talking?
And being nice.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so sad. Like, a lot of these people that would get, like, really attached to me were people that people aren't nice to, you know? So it's like, whenever anyone's nice, it's like, she's in love with me.
I totally know what you mean. I feel like I struggled with that a lot when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone had like a best friend and I didn't. And I was like, oh, I'll just be friends with like new people. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just try and make my own friends. And then they'd end up being like a weird pathological liar.
Oh my God. Yeah. We talked about that in one of our episodes.
Yeah. I know I mentioned to you that you follow Dove Clark.
Yes.
On Twitter.
Yes.
And she has been spilling some tea about her breakup and her ex.
Yes.
And some of these red flags are like, they might as well be sirens. But also I'm like not blaming her, you know?
Right, right, right.
I think that this happens a lot to everyone where mm-hmm. you're just like, you keep the bad things a secret because you're like, I'm going to try and make this work. And if I tell people about this thing that I know is not good, it's going to make them dislike that person and they won't be supportive of our relationship, you know?
Yeah.
So one of the things that she said was like, he asked her to like move in with her. And then also shortly after was like, we spend too much time together and I like am annoyed by that. And I'm annoyed with you. So while he was gone, She got all of her friends to move all her shit out. And then he was like, that was mean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I did see that. God, this guy sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, I honestly think this happening to Dove Clark is like so important because she's so beautiful and so educated and funny and successful. And it still happened to her.
She started out as like trying to be so like smart and put like she started out being so put together and like kind about this breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it just started piling up and she was like, no, fuck this
guy. Yeah. And
because
God.
You open your eyes when you're out of it.
Yeah.
They say love is blind for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also that quote from BoJack Horseman. Red flags just look like flags when you're wearing rose colored glasses.
Mm-hmm. I fucking love that quote. It's so true. Yep. It's so true. I think it's so easy. It is so easy to look back and be like, how the fuck did I miss this?
Mm-hmm.
But you're so right. People don't say things to their friends in the moment. I mean, that was the shit that I was going through when I was going through my breakup with my ex. Like, thank God I told you that I had been talking to him when I did, because that was right before everything came tumbling down. But I felt really alone in that. Like, you knew, Katie knew, and that's it. That we were talking again. That's it. And like, I was so used to being able to lean on everybody, but it gets to the point when like you are embarrassed that you're putting up with shit. Like, it's embarrassing to like be like, yep, I'm doing this again. Or like, yeah, I moved in with this guy that like doesn't want me to ever be around. Like, who's gonna admit to that?
I think most of us get to an age where we're like, okay, even though I don't like how this person is treating my friend, mm-hmm. they're choosing to be with them. And I don't want them to feel like they can't be safe talking to me because they know I don't like them.
Yes.
So I've had conversations with friends in the past where I'm like, I know that you've told me about this in the past and like I have told you to end it and I've asked like if when you're going to end it, but I don't want you to feel like I don't like want to be around them or I don't like them or like you can't talk to me about it because I just like if you're happy, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So we all have a different path.
Yes, you know, we
do. You got to trust your gut sometimes. And sometimes your gut says to stay with this shitty person.
Yeah.
I told you this earlier this week, like, or last week, I had this realization that hit me. I was on a walk and I've been trying to like purposefully go on walks and stay and like get in my own body and be connected instead of just having a ton of thoughts running around. Cause that's what I have been doing.
It's mindfulness.
Baby. One of my favorite things during like peak quarantine when I couldn't see anyone except for you was going on walks by myself and just like listening to music and like being like feeling like so connected to myself and like my higher self and like everything
your
around me.
I haven't heard you say that in so long.
Yeah. I'm trying to like get back in touch with her.
Love that.
So I've been trying to more consciously do that because I really liked like feeling so like connected with myself and my surroundings. Anyways, I had this realization that everything shitty that happened with Shoeman had to happen the way it did. Because I've always been like, yes, it's like a lesson for me and like I've learned so much, blah, blah, blah. But I never thought about the context of like how things happened and like why it had to happen that way.
Yeah.
Like I realized that if he didn't do all of this shady, shitty things and like elope really quickly shortly after cheating on her with me, that he would have probably just stuck around and been this ghost in my life, like dragging me down, and I would have allowed it.
Yeah.
And I think it happening the way it did both showed me like who he really is and showed me like I deserve way more than that.
Yeah.
Anyways, all this to say, have you ignored any like major red flags or like kept them a secret? Like, what's the worst one you can think of? Because I have some pretty gnarly ones that I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean, like, my ex had a bunch of red flags through the whole relationship and that he also knew and that he was like, telling, like, hello, I have these red flags. Like, he was literally like, what are you, to get away from me? You should be scared. And I was like, no, it's fine. So that was a whole different thing. But the guy that I was dating before my ex, I don't even think he has a nickname on here. Fucking waiter. We're going to call him waiter.
Actually, I think you have talked about him because I remember that.
Did I call him waiter?
I think so.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, he's for all of our like the most lifers.
Yeah. He's popping up again. He's done that. You were like,
he's the fucking worst, but he didn't go to my school, but he would come up to see me and mm-hmm. he like really wanted to be exclusive with
you
me.
You did tell me this. Uh-huh. Okay.
But then he wouldn't, none of his friends knew. So, and I was too young to be like, why aren't you telling your friends about me? You know, like I didn't put two and two together. But then I found out that he was bragging all of his friends about fucking all of these chicks on the side. So after he was the one that wanted to be exclusive. So I honestly think me being a secret from his friends was off the top of the dome. I'm sure there are 100 other red flags I've ignored in the past, but that's probably like the biggest one mm-hmm. was being a secret after he wanted to be exclusive. It wasn't even like I was like, can you be my boyfriend?
Yeah.
I didn't want it.
Yeah. I tweeted this.
Oh my God.
Shoe man. Before I moved to Seattle, he asked me to move in with him and was like annoyed that I had belongings that I brought with me to his place. And if you want to know what those belongings are, they were pictures of us and my family and my clothes. I'm not even fucking joking. Those are the only things I brought because I was like, okay, well, he already has all of this stuff and it's way nicer than mine and it already all matches. So like, I don't need to like bring others more shit. He already has all this shit. And then I was like, what do you think? And he's like, I guess I'll have to get used to it. And I was like, what did you think?
There
was going to happen.
No redeeming features of this man.
No, he's not even attractive.
No.
I was thinking about it and I was like, he is the least attractive person I've dated. He was the least attractive and he treated me the worst.
What a combo.
I know.
I went through my ex's phone the first year that we were dating and I found a conversation he was having with his ex about wanting to break up with me. Have I never told you this story?
No.
She's the one that she recently messaged me on Instagram. She's the one that sent me that very long text on Instagram. That was like, I've always felt connected to you. Do you remember that? It was like probably a year ago now, honestly. But she was
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. I never answered. But she was like, how are things going with Amelia? And he was like, I don't know. And she was like, what, are you just getting bored? And he was like, yeah. I want to break up with her. And we were at dinner. We were celebrating our 6 months. No, it was later because we had our 6 months in the summer. It was like right when we got back to school. So it must have been like 10 months. And he handed me his phone to show me something else. And I just like opened up his text like across from the table from him and was going through his text while he was sitting there watching me. And I read this conversation.
In plain sight.
Yep.
I love that for you.
I was like, my heart was in my ass. I was like, God damn it. So once we got home, I asked him about it. And he was like, of course, like apologizing and da da da. But like, that's one of those things that like, then we stayed together for 6.5, 7.5 more years. I mean, he cleaned up his behavior a lot, but.
I totally get that. Like when you already know, like, if they say the right thing that you're going to forgive them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really hard to get out of that headspace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you love someone and I feel like we should dedicate a whole episode, honestly, to the Gabby Petito case because there's so much going on. But I feel like the stuff that's in the news right now with Gabby Petito and like everybody saying like their relationship was going down the tubes. The female cop that was talking to her at the scene was like, you should leave. And she was like, I don't want to. I have a lot of anxiety about leaving. And then like this happens, you know?
Yeah.
And that's obviously an extreme example. Not everybody that's in a manipulative relationship is going to get killed allegedly by their fiance. But that's the kind of shit that happens. Like smart, bright people, like beautiful, happy, friendly, like end up in these toxic cycles that.
Yeah.
They can't get out of, and it gets so deep. You can't identify when something is getting so bad that like you're going to lose your life out over it. You
know, and then I mean? Like multiply that times like 50 for like people of color who yes. are just entirely dismissed.
Yes.
The other thing, oh, this is a hot button topic I really want to talk to you about. I feel like women are a lot kinkier than men. I
keep talking.
Have just kind of always, like, I was thinking about it the other night where I was just like, yeah, I think that like men are more likely to be pretty vanilla. And I feel like a lot of women are like waiting for like a guy to be like down as fuck to like do something a little weird, you know? Like,
this is very interesting.
I was specifically thinking about like years ago, one of my friends said he was like hooking up with this girl. And then like in the middle of them like fucking, the girl was like, put something in my ass. And then he was like, shit. So he like he was like, whoa, what? And she's like, anything. And then he like found a Sharpie and like put a Sharpie in her butt. Which, don't do that, guys. It needs to have a flat end.
Wait, also?
I said this so many times. Otherwise, it'll just... Anyways, so we put a Sharpie in her ass.
Wait, anecdote. Our first listener email ever was, yeah, about, it was about a Sharpie in an
a
asshole.
A Sharpie in the butthole. and they were like, honestly, it feels pretty nice. So... It just adds a little extra, a little something, something. So like that came to mind. And like, he was like scrambling, like had never considered putting something in your butt. And then, one of my other friends told me about a girl he had sex with who her kink was like pretending to be a cat. And I was like a furry. And he was like, no, like not quite a furry. So I don't know where the line with furries are. Haven't done that much research, I'll be honest. But like pretended to be a cat while they had sex.
Like meowing and shit?
Yes. So I just kind of stared at him. And then he's like, would you like to know more? And I was like, mm-hmm. Yes, I need to know absolutely more. Would like to know more. and then I was like, so like, how did this happen? And then he's like, well, she was wearing cat ears. And then I was like, so like, what did she do? And then he was like, she would like meow and like purr if I was like petting her. And I was like, did she like lick her paws and clean her ears? And he was like, yes. And then I was like, all I'm gathering from this is she must be pretty fucking hot for you to like be cool with that. And then he was like, honestly, yeah. And then I was like, I wonder what my hot threshold is, you know, like I wonder where my hotness peaks at, like of like what I would be allowed to get away with.
oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were thinking like, how hot would a guy have to be for you to like be down with him
to be a cat
like that? Yeah.
So I think women are more likely to be flexible about something like that. Of like, like the time I ate ass, I was like, you know, I'm never going to see this guy again, but that's what he wants. You know?
Good for
I
you,
was like,
Liz.
I'd be like, I was, you have a baby wife? I was pretty
intoxicated.
Yes.
I
was very intoxicated.
I want to, okay.
Anyways.
I want to preface this. I don't want to ever, ever, ever kink shame. Nobody mm-hmm. on this podcast ever wants to kink shame.
No.
You're into what you're into. But if you think about it objectively, like how, I don't want to say strange. You get what I'm saying? Like if somebody comes at me like any sort of animal and is really committed to the bit like that, I have, it's like your puppy girl Jenna.
I would just feel really uncomfortable because in some way it would feel like bestiality.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I'd want to be like, how did this become sexual?
Is it like a taboo thing? Like, is that what's hot about it?
And like, are you attracted to animals? I don't know. That's where my brain can't really like figure it out. So if you're a furry, we would love to have you on the podcast because I mean, I don't think it's like, we're definitely not kink shaming. It's
we just don't understand.
Yeah, it's not something we understand. And I also think most people are not furries. Yes. Most people do not want to act like an animal.
But it's like your puppy girl, Jenna, where mm-hmm. like they're, from what she says, or at least what I've seen her say, is that there's no like trauma involved and there's not anything like about it being a dog. It's just like she's always found comfort in acting like a dog. So it's like, but like sexually?
Yeah. That's what I want to know, like, where it gets to that point of like, yeah I want to be a cat while you fuck me.
I want to reiterate, if you are a furry and you feel comfortable telling us about
yes,
it.
Yes, please tell us.
We are never going to judge you for it. We're being I'm very so light curious. About it. We don't know anything about it. And we would love to. And we always want to understand all of this.
And so we could look it up. We could look it up. But also if you have furry experience or are furry or even just have like this kind of like pet kink, we want to hear about it. We want to know more.
A furry convention walking down the street 2 weeks ago. I just remember just now. It was like, you know, when you remember.
I think maybe a furry, like, it's not just a kink. It's like a lifestyle.
It seems like it.
Anyways, this was just to say that I think women are kinkier than men.
I
think women are a little more open-minded to like being down to do something if it like gets them off. But then also,
that's an interesting take.
We've also been like so socialized to be like, yes, sex ends when the man comes. Mm-hmm. So we're not really taught to like value our own pleasure.
That's so true. That's really interesting. Now that you're saying this, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about like how many guys I've had sex with since I've been like curious about BDSM and how none of them know anything about it. And like, that's a very small sample size. I haven't had sex with like 300 men.
BDSM is so broad and so many people are into it.
Yes.
Like you can at least have like a high level like...
And none knowledge. Of them have. Like every guy that I asked a dude the other night if he has any kinks. And his BDSM is a kink. Mm-hmm. And his reaction was like, well, I mean like, no, because like, I don't, like he was thinking of kinks as like a taboo thing, like dressing up as a baby, you know? And I'm like, no, that's like a taboo kink, like a taboo fetish, you know? But like kink can be like, choking, like it doesn't need to be like a big thing.
I think people confuse kink and fetish mm-hmm. a lot.
I agree.
Fetish is something that you need to get off, but a kink is something that just like escalates how turned on you are. Yeah, I would say.
I don't know. I just really.
And you're like, listen, just thrown around. I just want to be a little submissive rag doll, mm-hmm. and. For you to make me call you sir or daddy.
Put my head through the ceiling.
Yeah. Daddy, sorry. Daddy, sorry. Daddy, sorry.
Y'all, we can say this now. I remember we were always so like concerned about like talking about like even celebrities on the pod. How do you say his last name? Rebier?
Rebier, yeah.
Mark Rebier. I posted he's such a fucking fox. He is so hot. There's something that is so, I think it's just because he's so hypersexual. That it makes him so hot. Because if I saw him walking down the street, he's an attractive dude.
He's attractive, he's smart, and he's confident.
Yep. And he just doesn't give a fuck, and I fucking love it. And I posted him on my story saying that...
Daddy, sorry. Daddy, sorry. Daddy, sorry.
And he sent me the kissy face back. Oh my God, Liz, I didn't tell you the end of this conversation. I talked to him like for like a tiny bit more. And it was like so honestly the most mortifying conversation I've had in my life.
I've been there.
So he was
quite literally.
I was like manifesting you blessing us in Seattle soon. And he was like, I was just there 2 days ago. Fuck. I was like, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, but you weren't in my mouth.
Yeah, that's what I meant by in Seattle, Mark. Get with it. No, but he was like, he was really sweet about it. He was like, oh yeah, I would love that. I was just there 2 days ago. Like, you know, like I would love to come back. And I was like, oh, so I was like,
fuck.
What venue? Oh, I see you're at the Showbox. Love that place. Hope we treated you well. And he read it and did not respond. And so I am now a ghost of myself. I died yesterday. It was sad. Mark?
I've been there.
If I end up sending this clip to you on Twitter, I would like another chance.
Do you think it's okay for me to fumble that badly in DMs ever? For me to share mine?
Oh, 100%.
I think enough time has gone by.
That was our first introduction to like the blue checkmark conversation on this podcast. Please share.
I have been left on red by Mark Rippey too. Like almost this time last year.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow. Together we have a full relationship with him.
Yeah, exactly. Together we've kissed Mark Rippey. But I had tweeted at him like, women want a man who will say grace before eating our ass or something.
That tweet performed well.
It did. And that was honest. It was in response to something that he, like a bit he did.
Yeah.
When he was doing like all of those like live streams, peak pandemic when we're all like desperate for content. Uh-huh. So I had like referenced that and then it blew up because a lot of people hadn't seen that. And then I had my Instagram linked in my bio on Twitter. So he clicked it and he like watched my stories and then I watched his stories. And then he said something about like silly last names. And I was like, does that apply to me? And then he said something. I don't know. I should look at it. I can't remember what the conversation
that
was.
And
I was like, oh my God.
I was flipping out. He is such a.
And then I tried to flirt with him again and he just left me on red. But I'm sure so many people are getting at him all the time.
Oh, for sure. Did you see the video of him in Vegas yesterday? Oh my God. There was a huge crowd there and he was crowd surfing and everyone was freaking the fuck out about him. And I was like, Mark, also, one of these days.
I also feel like he probably does not even have time to like
message everybody.
Not even just message, date. Just like date or hook up. I feel like he
does. Fine. It can be quick.
Maybe he doesn't care. I don't know. Let's make it quick.
If you want to be a 2-pump chump, I got time for it. I'll work you into my schedule. Him going to your Instagram from your Twitter is such a win. I would hold
it
on
was
to that
a
for
win.
Forever.
Remember. I don't know. I'm just thinking about when we were like blue check marks in the DMs. And then now that feels like such a stupid thing to
it's
like.
So ridiculous.
But when you're just a peasant as we are.
Yeah.
You feel like hot shit.
It's just so embarrassing to think about now. Like, because like, Man is a blue check mark. So is his friend that we were hanging out with. And they're just like. So
they're just
fucking
dudes.
Normal.
Yeah.
Which obviously, I think that we always knew that they're just like people. But it was still like when we were starting out, we're like, fuck yeah, fucking one of the LA
Someone
Dodgers.
Someone like people are talking to all the time noticed me.
Yeah.
Of all of the peasants they could notice, 'twas me. It's a Cinderella moment.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Where you're like, oh my God.
Me?
I've never felt special in my life. That's not true. I was once on the news as a child.
Ooh, for what?
So they were interviewing children about voting in the election.
Pew, 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 pew.
So they were like, can you explain voting? And I was like, yeah, so you get to vote for, so let's say there's like two people like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, only presidents I knew.
That's like really the only presidents I still know.
Yeah, in first grade, those were the only presidents I knew. And then I was like, and then you pick which one you want to vote for. But there is more than two.
But when you're a child.
But then also in America, there might as well only be two.
Word.
Which
when
is some dog shit.
George Bush and Al Gore were running against each other. My elementary school, these fuckers, they told us that Al Gore and George Bush were coming to our school. And they were like getting us so fucking hyped. And it was just fifth graders dressed as George Bush. We were all so disappointed.
That's really funny.
Why would they
That's
amp us
really,
up like
really
that?
Fucking funny.
And I voted for Al Gore. Before I knew anything about politics, I just didn't like the fifth grader that was playing George Bush. So I was like I want Al Gore to win. And look at us now.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's an email that we got from one of y'all's. Hey, Amelia and Liz. Gonna be super awkward if I got the email address wrong and this isn't you. LOL. That would be hilarious if one of these ended up in just someone random's inbox. I discovered your podcast relatively recently and was really sad when I realized I'm up to date and can't catch up anymore because I've zoomed through them literally so quickly. I love you guys. Love you. I have been going through a bit of a weird time with my relationship lately and wanted to get your take on it. Some quick context. I'm bi, but super inexperienced, especially with guys. The country I live in is not the same as the one I study in, and I suffer with some quite intense mental health stuff. Relatable. I, 19 female, have been dating an amazing girl, age 21, officially for a bit over 2 months now, but talking since March. It was very quickly apparent that we were not going to be just friends, but the country was in lockdown, so we couldn't meet for ages. With her, I'm the happiest I've been in a long time and feel comfortable with myself, comfortable and myself. Now the school year is starting for me. I've flown back to uni, making us long distance. Because of this distance, we decided to open our relationship a little. This was something I had intentionally mentioned. This was something I initially mentioned a few weeks ago, not expecting it to lead anywhere, but she brought back up recently asking if we could actually arrange that. We set out some guidelines so that we could both stay comfortable, and essentially we are romantically exclusive, but we are going to sleep with other people. I had sex with a guy for the first time the other day, with an exclamation mark in parentheses, and I agree with that placement, sticking to all of our rules, etc., and I think it's fair to say that shit hit the fan. Clearly, my girlfriend was not happy with the non-monogamy, as we both thought, but instead of it being an adult conversation of like, actually, no, I don't like this, it became a barrage of accusatory questions, childish remarks, and pointed comments on her social media that felt like they were aimed at me. Ugh. She didn't even seem to care whether I was okay having had sex involving a penis for the first time. She has since apologized for how unfairly guilty she made me feel. I have no issues stopping the non-monogamy thing, but the way she dealt with it has raised a lot of red flags in my head. I would love to hear you guys' take on this. Am I overthinking things, or am I being low-key a pushover by staying with her even though I've now got these doubts? Sorry this was a bit longer than planned. No, it's okay. Even though this is the short version of the story, as I said, I would love to hear your opinions on my situation, but equally totally get that you probably received tons of emails like this. Ever a fan?
We've never received an email like this.
Nope, and also it is such a good conversation to have on the podcast. Since I just talked, I'll let you go first.
There's a lot to unpack here.
Yes, agreed.
I don't think you're being a pushover because you obviously care about your girlfriend and you want to be with her, presumably, especially in a romantic context.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But for her to act like she also didn't consciously make this decision with you to be non-monogamous, I think that's my problem with it, is like it's not like just you doing this. She also played a part and gave you permission to do this. And I also think maybe she wasn't prepared to feel that way, to feel jealous, or didn't think it would happen this way. And that's not to say her feelings are invalid.
Right.
She also just needs to have ownership over, like, she played a hand in how this ended up making her feel.
Yes.
And she's allowed to be hurt. There's no way either of you could have predicted that. When I was 19, I, like, wanted to be in a relationship, so I get that. But, like, in hindsight, I'm like, I wish I had just not cared about being in a relationship at all.
Yeah.
During that entire like college period.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, tons of people stay together through college and after. So
Yeah,
you'll know what's right for you.
Yeah.
I'm only speaking from my own perspective, obviously, but it's obviously up to you if you care about this person enough that you want to stay with them in a romantic context, because like, yeah, you clearly like care about each other, but
right. And I don't think that makes you, you called yourself a pushover in the email. I don't think that makes you a pushover. I think that just means you
care about another person.
Right. I don't think that you're a, and I understand why you would feel that way, but you're not. I always say, I haven't in a long time on the podcast, that gut feelings are guardian angels. And if your gut is telling you that this is a red flag that you should really pay attention to, then you should maybe look into that. I'm not saying like that means break up with her. It might, but that's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I think I agree with everything that you said. And also what it could be, where the anger could be stemming from, is maybe she thought that she was going to have a lot more success with opening the relationship up and hooking up. And then you actually getting there and her not, could have, it could have just been like a jealousy thing. It's like in breakups, you don't want to be the second one to move on.
Yeah.
It's that kind of situation where it's like, you know, she was the one that initially brought up non-monogamy. So she really, again, her feelings are valid, but like she's not really allowed to be mad. Like that was something that you talked about.
My understanding is the writer was the one who initially brought up non-monogamy, and then her partner was the one who was like, actually, let's circle back. Like,
yeah, I brought it back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like that's fair, you that's were fair. Like pushing her for exactly. it. You know, she was the one that was like, actually, that does sound kind of good. So it's like, she could have just never brought it up again if that was something that she was uncomfortable with and she wanted to try it. And so
some people are way better at separating sex and feelings. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this so many times. I'm not able to do that. But yeah. I think like similarly, you are the perfect example of someone who can maintain a relationship with someone while also dating other people. Mm-hmm. Because not to say you're in a relationship right now, but you do have someone that you see pretty often.
Yeah.
And like have romantic feelings for. Mm-hmm. And those are mutual feelings between you two. And you've admitted like this it kind of context requires so, so much intentional communication.
Yeah.
And I just like thinking about myself at 19 and 21, I did not have the emotional maturity to deal with anything like that.
Oh my God. Me neither. Are you kidding?
No way.
I would have fallen the fuck apart. But
yeah, they're handling it way better than
yeah
either of us would have. And that's because the youth are smarter now than we were.
God, the world's different now. Kids these days. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, like the intentional communication and like still, so Squints is the one I know mm-hmm. you're talking about. And we have talked about like not being exclusive, not being like in a relationship. We're not like boyfriend and girlfriend. It isn't even an open relationship. We're just like chilling. And still, I know that like if I were to find out that he was seeing another person, I would be like, oh, you know,
yeah, it would hurt.
It would hurt, but it wouldn't be like I couldn't be mad about it because like,
yeah,
okay, like we've talked about that. That's something, and I'm comfortable with that. It's not mm-hmm. like I'm saying that to like be cool. Like I've agreed to it. I've circled back on it like this person's girlfriend did, like, because I think that that's a good setup for how we are now. And so that's what we mean. Like her feelings are valid, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't mean that you're in the wrong. Like, no. I think that she can be valid in how she's feeling and you can also be in the right. You've had a conversation about it. You did exactly what you needed to do of like setting guidelines out.
Yeah. I really don't think either person is wrong here.
I don't think so either.
I mean, I don't think her girlfriend handled it the best.
Yep.
But I think that like, you know, her feelings were hurt and she wasn't anticipating that. So mm-hmm. can't really predict it.
100% should have been communicated. Like,
mm-hmm. instead of like, you know,
lashing out.
Yeah. Passive aggressively online.
So I think the bottom line of all of this is like, I understand why your girlfriend's upset and you did nothing wrong.
Yeah. And
both of those things could be true.
Listen to your gut.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a pushover.
Yep.
And it's a really complicated position to be in. Mm-hmm. That's going to require a lot of communication. In whatever you decide, like if you decide you do still want to be non-monogamous or if you decide to be exclusive.
Yes.
It's because this also seems like something that has probably hurt enough to be used as like an accusation or a defense or a reason to not trust you or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's just going to require so much communication and trust and transparency.
Yeah. And you can decide to work through it and decide, you know, in a month that it's actually not working for you, you know, just mm-hmm. kind of like take it day by day. Like, I feel like that's easier said than done of just like, just see where, you know, the river takes you. But really like just take it day by day because like nobody likes feeling how your girlfriend's probably feeling right now. So that's something that she needs to work through because again, it's not, you didn't do anything wrong. So it's like kind of on her to like work through it. and maybe she can get through it. And maybe you can like continue on with this non-monogamy setup and she can work through like those feelings and whatever. But like, if you want to give it a go and make it work, you're always going to be wondering, if you end it, you're going to be wondering like, what if I just kept trying? If you aren't 100% ready to cut your ties, you know? Yeah. So just keep following what your gut is telling you. Follow your heart, follow your brain, and it'll be okay. That's a really shitty situation. Yeah. Because really, you did everything. What it sounds like from what this email said, you did everything that you need to do for an open relationship setup.
Also, like, how are you going to predict how it's going
to
go down?
There's no way to know. Yeah,
there's no way to know until you try it. Mm-hmm. And y'all tried it and it wasn't great.
Right.
But that doesn't mean, I don't know. Like, I know non-monogamy can get really complicated and messy. I remember we were talking about it and you always had the impression that there isn't jealousy involved, but there is. There's so much jealousy involved in polyamory and non-monogamy.
Yeah. And so, I hadn't realized that until I was really reading about polyamory, because it's like, you don't just like turn off that part of your caveman brain of jealousy, you know? Mm-hmm. That's such a normal human emotion. It's just like how you manage that jealousy is the difference.
I get jealous of people my boyfriend has hooked up with in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that wasn't something I experienced when we first started seeing each other, because like, you're not as emotionally invested in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like having fun. And it's kind of one of those things where you're like, this is great right now. And like, I'm having a good time and like, I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm just going to like ride this beautiful wave.
Yeah.
And then you get more and more invested and you fall in love. And then you're like, I am crying, throwing up, thinking about you being in a relationship 4 years ago.
Yeah. Before you even knew I existed. Yeah. How dare you? But yeah, I mean, were you nice, so natural.
As nice to her as you are to me. I hope so. But also,
I hope you weren't.
I hope that you're a little bit nicer to me.
It's like that Olivia Rodrigo song, Happier.
Yeah.
It's so real.
You're like,
you're not allowed to be happy with anybody.
I know that you dated other people, but like,
you hated them, right? You hated them, right?
Yeah. I feel like I turn into Lola from Big Mouth. I'm just like, who the fuck is this?
That's so relatable.
Liz,
though.
I dated her 6 years ago. Okay, and why is she alive? Chaos.
Yeah, like, why is she alive?
Why aren't you toxic and awful to her? No, I'm just kidding. There's just like something stupid in your brain that's like gonna do that.
It feels evolutionary. Like, it feels like a biological thing.
Yeah. Well, and when you make a conscious choice to be together instead of feeling like, oh, I might as well settle. Yeah. I gotta settle down.
Right.
It's way better to be like, I made this decision. Mm-hmm. And I'm like fucking stoked about it.
Yeah.
When you make it consciously versus instead of like feeling pressured, it's just more satisfying.
Love is so beautiful. Since I've like stopped being so jaded about love, I'm so excited to fall in love.
Oh, I texted Amelia today and I was like, have you ever thought about how like, you're someone's the one?
And I hadn't. And I was like, oh my God.
I hadn't thought of that either until recently. I was like, I am the one to someone. That's so beautiful.
Where the fuck is he? You stupid fucking idiot. Where are you? Come fucking find me.
Do we need a sex fact of the week?
Oh my God, we do. Wow, good memory. All right. Warm up those pipes while I find a sex fact.
What you gonna do with all that sex?
Oh my God, I love that. Are we going through a rebrand?
What you gonna do with all that sex? All that sex fact of the week. I'm gonna make you read the sex fact of the week.
We can't go back to our old song.
I like that it's something different every time.
It's true. There's always different ad libs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me find one.
I did a real weird dance with that one.
That was beautiful. If you're subscribed to us on Patreon, you fucking
know. Yeah, you saw my weird chicken hand dance.
That was, I'm honestly inspired.
Sex fact of the week.
We both snapped at the same time. Sex fact of the week. Sex fact of the week.
Ach.
Sex fact of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I've been practicing my beatboxing. Liz's beatboxing is much better than mine. I feel shown up. I'm just doing
boots and cats.
Boots and cats. Boots and cats.
Boots and pants and boots and cats.
Ooh.
Boots
and cats. Boots and cats. That was pretty, honestly, I'm inspired and jealous. Okay, this is what womenshealthmag.com says. I don't know if there's any credence to this. I'm just reading. Lesbians have the most orgasms. That's, makes sense.
Yeah.
Sorry, straight ladies. Well, what about the bi ladies, the pan ladies?
Sorry, people having sex with penises.
Yep, that's what it should say.
Yeah.
Sorry, straight ladies, when it comes to crossing the finish line, lesbians are coming in first. A study that looked at the relationship between sexual orientation and orgasm occurrence found that heterosexual women climaxed 61.6% of the time, while homosexual women climaxed 74.7% of the time,
yep.
And bisexual women climaxed 58% of the time.
Hmm.
Interesting, that's the lowest. But then the fact under it is hilarious. Other random characteristics can up your orgasm odds too. Who else joins lesbians on the list of those having the most orgasms? Redheads? Republicans?
No!
Android users? And older women, to name a few.
Hell yeah.
Android it's users?
It's nice to think that I'm going to be having more orgasms the older I get.
Hell yeah.
Mr. Liz is an Android user. Can I get an AO?
AO. It's interesting that Republicans have more orgasms.
What?
Just like thinking about the fucking flag.
But which, yeah. But what are like,
fucking guns.
What Republicans? Dudes?
It doesn't say, it just says Republicans and Android users and redheads. It's very, those are interesting stats. There are studies linked. If you want to read more about that, womenshealthmag.com.
Orgasms in a relationship or solo?
Mm-hmm.
That's a follow-up question I have.
That's an interesting follow-up cue.
Yeah.
It feels like there needs to be like some more like controlled variables in these kinds of studies, but those are some hot topics.
Yeah. Interesting. HTs. Interesting. Well,
we love you.
We love you.
We love you.
Oh, wow.
I'm making this really hard for you to harness.
I'm just letting you do your thing.
Knowing that you're watching me and saying it is impossible.
I'll close my eyes.
Okay. We love you. Our children. I got the Mariah ear going too.
Going in the high note.
The soprano.
Anyways, bye.
Bye.